Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm your regular guy, Dean Vitale. Joining us today is our host, John Bell, a lifelong pastor. How you doing, John?
Doing really well.
Good, good. I'm looking forward to this episode because I get this question all the time. And even within believers, there is some confusion. So, John, here's the question. Does God have a plan for everyone's life?
Well, again, when you ask these questions, I generally start off with a simple answer. And the simple answer is yes, God has a plan for everyone. And basically, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you're going back to what God had in mind when he created Adam and Eve, which would be the federal heads of the human race. So what God had intended for them was by relationship also intended for us. And what was that? It was that we would have dominion over the earth, that we would multiply and be fruitful. So we would have families, we would have children, and we would populate the earth. But God intended to, God, this planet was actually made for God to rule over it. It belonged to him. And by extension, it was a theocracy. It would be governed. It would be administrated by God. But he would do that through Adam and through the human race. So the original plan was for you and I and every human being to rule over this planet and to turn it into a wonder. You know how many resources have been discovered through the history of the world. But God intended for us to develop it and grow it and invent and create and basically rule over it. But Genesis chapter 3, we lost that. We lost that dominion. But God didn't give up on us. So here's what God is doing. He's first bringing us back to himself. And God's plan would be that people who turned away from God through Adam and Eve in the garden, the human race, it's called the fall, simply called the fall. And that people would come back to God. And the way that would happen is their sins would be paid for by a perfect individual who was both God and man. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. So the first step in fulfilling God's plan is to be restored to God through Jesus Christ. So now you can start to fulfill. It says, by grace through faith, we have been saved. And that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. But then it says in verse 10, it says, for we are his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do the good things that he has prepared for us. So ideally, the people who have fallen, God's plan, would come back to him through Jesus Christ. And then God has designed each of us with unique personalities and talents and abilities. And he has prepared for every person that comes to Christ that they would do things that he has prepared for them to do. You know, I'm sure, Dean, this little off-the-cuff thing that we're doing, that God, in the mind of God, this was created long before the world was ever created, that mm-hmm. God had this in his mind, that we would be sitting here today talking to each other, talking about the truth, talking about God's plan for human beings. So we would do those, and God has good things prepared. Everyone is a masterpiece when they come to Jesus Christ, and they have Christ living in them and the Holy Spirit leading them, and they do the things. Now, all that brings up, you know, is that automatic? And the answer is no, it's not automatic. We're not robots. There is the sovereign will of God, which means God's will is sovereign. It can't be undone. We can't thwart God's plans. God has an ultimate plan, and it's going to be accomplished. But we also have free will. So we have the ability to say yes or no. God hasn't programmed me to do, you know, some people or some Christians who think that, you know, every step is something that I have to do. I have to respond and I have to, you know, I'm going through the grocery aisle and I'm saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to buy? No, I have lots of freedom within the framework of the sovereignty of God, free will. So I have to receive that willingly, gladly, joyfully.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, Christians will go through some things, and you'll hear this all the time. Say the man loses his job, and he's depressed, and he's not sure what he's going to do, and then someone will ultimately say, God's plan is better than your plan, and they'll comfort him with those things. Now, that doesn't mean that he should just sit at home and wait for the employer to call him and say, you know, we want to hire you. But when people say God's plan is better than your plan, when people are going through tough times, that doesn't resonate really well. Someone loses a child or they get a bad report from the doctor and they say God's plan is better than your plan. What do you say to those folks?
Yeah, sometimes that sounds like fatalism. And, you know, again, these are polar opposites where, you know, I'm in charge of my life and everything I do is decided by me and it's all on me. Another side is more fatalistic. You know, the joke is the guy falls down the stairs and gets up, brushes himself off, and he says, I'm glad that's over with. And it's like, you know, that's fatalism. There's always tension, you know. Truth is always this tension between, you know, one side or the other. That's why truth is often hard to find. You know, it's easy to find if you're looking in Scripture. But yeah, I think when someone is hurting, when there's a loss, either a loss of life or a loss of a job, a loss of a dream, whatever it is, our responsibility as believers is to comfort one another. We're not to try to diagnose what God is doing, because frankly, the older I get, the only thing I'm really sure of is that Jesus loves me, and I don't even know why. But when you see someone hurting, or don't get philosophical, don't even get theological. Just come alongside of them and say, I know that must hurt. I just want you to know I'm here for you. But yeah, there's a right, you know, Ecclesiastes again, there's a right time. There's a time and place for everything. You know, a time to laugh, a time to cry. So what I would say, here's an interesting verse that to me explains the sovereignty of God and people's free will. So as Jesus neared the end of his ministry, says he went on a mountain overlooking Jerusalem. I've probably been on that mountain, but he overlooked the mountain and he wept. Says he wept over the city of Jerusalem. And here's what he says. He says, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you to myself, even as a hen gathers its chicks, but you would not." So I think that's one of those things where Jesus is actually saying to the city of Jerusalem, I offered myself as king to you, and my will was for you to receive. How often I would have gathered you unto myself, but you would not. So there you have the sovereignty of God, God's plan, but also our responsibility to accept it or reject it. One of the things that I would say is, if you are a child of God, you always accept it. I mean, that's part of being a child of God, is God makes an offer. God says, this is true. And you say, yes, that's true. That in and of itself bears witness to your identity as a child of God. There are some people that you tell them God's truth and they just get angry and mad.
So bring clarity to this, okay? When I uh, when I take a drive to see my daughter, we pass a bunch of homeless people. And it's kind of one of these cities under a bridge. And I look at those people that are living outside in these little makeshift shelters under a bridge in the city of Chicago. And I ask myself, was that God's plan for them? And then I drive a little further and there can be a beautiful corporate high rise. And inside that corporate high rise, you know, there's CEOs and COOs and they're living the high life. And then I ask, was that God's plan for those folks?
Mm-hmm. So here's God's plan. Again, God's plan is not your current condition. Your current condition, you know, there's a lot of factors involved in how people get to where they are in whatever station in life. You know, if they grew up with resources, if they grew up with nothing, if they were white collar, blue collar, if they had some education, all those have to do with stations in life. But really, the value of life is not your current station in life. I was reading Luke 16 this morning, and it talks about the rich man and Lazarus, right? And the rich man had wonderful clothing. He had plenty of food to eat. He was living in a palace. His life looked amazing. Sitting outside of his house at the gate was this man named Lazarus who basically ate the crumbs that fell from the table. He ate the bad bread that the animals, the dogs, ate as well. And then it says the animals actually licked his sores. But then it goes on to talk about when they died, right? And it's like a total role reversal. And the role reversal is, you know, you find Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, which is a picture of heaven itself. And you find the rich man in hell, and he's in torment. He's dying of thirst, and he's isolated, and he's alone. So, you know, life is pretty short, Dean. Life is pretty short. Most people should be thinking more about eternity than they are, because whatever station in life you are, I mean, one of the things I would say is if you do come to Christ, your life will get better because you'll actually become a harder worker. You'll be more creative. You'll be more faithful. You'll want to know more, so you'll get education. And a lot of those things can help you achieve a higher station in life. You'll become much more relational. If homeless people could truly become more relational, and you know what they've discovered in many of these homeless communities that they have more love for each other than the people living in the high rise.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You can't just look with your eyes and say, oh, you know what? That's what I want to live in that high rise. I never would want to be homeless. Well, I don't want to be homeless either. And there are some things that get people to be homeless, a lot of bad choices that take place. But the big thing is eternity is where you need to really be investing. Invest into heaven, not
mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, John, I've been wrestling with this for a long time about does God have a plan and what does that look like? And there was one illustration that I read, and I just want to run it by you, and you tell me, is this on target or not? And the illustration was, and you might have heard it, but the illustration was, is believers are all on a huge cruise ship, and the cruise ship is heading to a destination. And on board that cruise ship, all the believers can make those decisions. I want to go for a restaurant there. I want to go watch a movie there. I want to go sit on the sun deck. We can make all those decisions. But as we make those decisions on this big cruise ship, the cruise ship is going to the destination and bringing all of us there to heaven. So you can make these decisions and you have free will to move amongst this cruise ship, but ultimately it's going to dock in heaven.
Right. And the best thing you can, the best thing you can do on the cruise ship is, you know, sow seeds of blessing and seeds of joy. You know, be the person. Don't be the person that goes to every meal available. You know, it's being on the cruise ship means, you know, there's a lot of gluttony on cruise ships. But yes, if you really are a child of God, you recognize you are going to that destination, and that, you know what, I want to serve the rest of the people on the cruise ship. That's what I want to do. The illustration I use is God is playing 7.2 billion games of chess. Mm. And he's going to win every game. So whatever move you can move, on the board, right? But you are never going to checkmate God. He's always going to have the checkmate. So if you know that, you know, you want to live your life in such a way to be pleasing unto the Lord in everything that you do.
Yeah, got it. All right. Well, again, John, thanks for bringing some clarity to this subject. Thanks for discussing if God has a plan for our lives. So I appreciate it. Next time, we're going to talk about, is hell a joking matter? And we'll kind of go into that a little bit. So for now, I'm Dean Vitale on behalf of John Bell, saying thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, share this with your friends and tell them about it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time right here on Off the Cuff.